Well, if you follow the comic strips and you're already familiar with the creative mind of Francesco Marciuliano, he's the current writer of Sally Forth and the writer and artist behind Medium Large. A contributor to the Onion News Network, Francesco is also the author of the New York Times bestseller I Could Pee on This and Other Poems by Cats that came out in 2012. This year he came out with I Could Chew on This and Other Poems by Dogs. Francesco Marciuliano joins us from his home in New York City. And Francesco, such a pleasure. Welcome to Up to Date.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Where did the voice for these books come from? And are these pets that you've owned over the years yourself?
Yes, I've had cats, I've had dogs, I've had birds, I've had fish. It's not all in a New York City apartment, mind you, because that'd be a little impossible at the same time. But, I've had animals all my life. When I grew up, I had a Siamese kitten. My parents looked after 12 feral cats that would be around our house, which I'm sure is a number none of the neighbors discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 3 different dogs. So animals have been throughout my entire life.
So you also had fish as pets. Is that going to be your third book along this line?
That may be a bit of a limited scope. I mean, because all basically, especially since I have such short-term memory, it'd be just going around a fishbowl going, oh, look, a couch. Oh, look, a couch. Oh, look.
Yeah,
maybe they say something snarky about the furniture. It's like they really have no sense of interior decorating. I don't know how they're going to resell this place. But other than that, I'm not sure.
Well, these are physically very small books. They're like 4.5 by 6 inches, and no poem is more than 2 pages long. I was amazed by how well you managed to get your points across in so few lines. Had you done poetry before you wrote these books?
Well, first of all, thank you very much. And second of all, no, I mean, I studied a lot of poetry in college, because when you're an English major, it takes you a while to, you say, this sounds like a good idea. And then later, how do I use this as a career? But no, I had not written a lot of poetry, and by no means would I say it's like, this, and then we'll just put it next to the W.H. Auden. No. But it was quite enjoyable. It seemed the best way to get what the pets were thinking. The sense of brevity was very important, and, writing the comic strip Sally Forth, where you basically have 3 panels to get it across, I've gotten used to that over the while, so it's helped kind of prune whatever excess I had in writing. But it just seemed like the best way to get in the mind of an animal.
So what you're saying, Francesco, is you're saying that dogs and cats don't have a lot of really deep thoughts, which might offend a lot of dog and cat owners out there. I don't know.
No, I actually would say the reverse. I'm saying this is the best way to get their point across, but I think it's the best way to get across the deep thoughts that I believe they do have, actually. I believe they're aware all the time. They're always looking at their environment. I'm not saying that. So when they speak in English, so we're not going to slide into, in the insanity part here. But, I think they're hyper-aware of their environment. And even when, people will say, well, that's not true. The cat's lying on the bed. It's been there for 11 hours and has blinked twice. But the cat really is paying attention to you. Sometimes it's paying attention to a matter of, you're there, I'm here. This is a good distance. We should hold this for about 4 hours.
Well, let's give our...
Or the dog just feed, but both of them do pick up on your emotions. I think a lot of people think cats don't read people's emotions. That's not true at all. If you're sad, a cat will come up, a dog reacts. So they are always aware.
Well, let's give our listeners a little sample of what they'll find in I Could Chew on This. You've picked a couple of poems to read. So let's hear Wingman, if you would.
Okay, this is Wingman. I wag my tail, I tilt my head, I give a little wink. I flash my smile, I show my belly, I give a little lick. I do it all, from sit to speak, to attract women far and near. Then you chime in with something about fan fiction, and I realize we're going to die alone.
That's Francesco Marciuliano reading from his new book, I Could Chew on This. What would inspire a poem for you and make you stop and say, I need to write a poem about that from a dog's point of view?
Well, it depends. I mean, some of it was reflection on my pets. The cat book came about because I had 2 cats for about 17 years. And after the second one passed away, I was actually quite sad. And so I wanted to do something to sort of... remember them. And I didn't want to write anything cute. I didn't want to write cutesy poems because that seemed to diminish the pet. Pets are more than just cutesy. You know, they're vibrant characters. And so I wanted to do something funny. And so I started writing poems thinking about my two cats, and that eventually led to the cat book. And with the dog, it's the same thing. I thought about my dog, but I live in New York City, and you see a lot of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I also live in New York City, which is why you're hearing the word dog as dog sometimes coming out of my mouth. But
yes.
But, you know, there are a lot of dog walks. There are a lot of people walking around. And, you know, sometimes you do wonder what they think when they're wandering around, especially when they see other dogs. It's sort of like when two babies see each other in shopping carts in a supermarket. You know, what kind of, you know, they have to make eye contact and they have to check each other out. Sometimes when you see a dog waiting outside for its owner, outside of the store, and is tied up even briefly, which I always think is a sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically how the dog more or less has to kill that time by trying to have a conversation with the fire hydrant or the mailbox and realizing it's not getting anywhere with it.
Well, your books have been lying around the... Your books have been lying around the studios for a couple of days, and people have been picking them up and laughing repeatedly the last few days here. Our staff picked some poems to read as well. Suzanne Hogan is here with Bath. Francisco, can you tell us what inspired this one?
Basically, the mess that ensues when there is no clean way to there's no clean, easy way to wash a pet cat or dog.
Suzanne right. Hogan, you're on.
Okay. Bath. I'm taking a bath. Hey, I'm taking a bath. I'm taking a soapy, sudsy, oh-so-foamy, big old bath. Just thought you should know that I'm taking a bath. Now I'm going to shake. Oh, that feels so good. Now, if you'll excuse me, I really should run back upstairs to finish my bath. Bath.
Bath. Yeah. Thank you, Suzanne.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We should also tell our listeners that a canine photo accompanies many of these poems to illustrate
right.
their meaning. How long did it take, and where did you find the photos for the book?
Well, the photos were done mostly by Chronicle. They would choose a large archive of photos. You know, there are photo services. Some, I think, were actually taken for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would just go through and try to see which animal best personified the poem and make sure a lot of times it always helps when you get an animal who looks directly at the reader. So it's basically, each poem is the dog talking to the reader, giving in a little insight about their life or their issues. And, you're always going to find, every dog is adorable, so you're never going to have a problem there. But it was just trying to find some connection. And there's one poem there which is basically about the happiest day. And we were looking through, and they came across this picture of this unbelievably cute bulldog with the biggest smile. You know, I know a lot of people have, like, weird things about bulldogs. I think they're absolutely adorable.
Mm-hmm.
And when they smile, it's just the happiest smile you can see. And it just came off, and it's like, so it was great. You'd have moments like, this is perfect. You know, it would just match everything.
We're visiting with Marcesco Marciuliano about his new book, I Could Chew on This and Other Poems by Dogs. You've given readers both the cat's and the dog's take on life, Francesco. Which species was easier for you to understand?
It's not a matter of understanding. It's a matter that we're realizing that there are two very different approaches. Cats are very internal, so it was very much trying to think of what they're not telling you. Whereas with dogs, they're very exuberant and, you know, they're very public in their emotions. So it was more or less about trying to figure out what they are telling you.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So it's just trying to translate their thoughts. Even in their quiet moments, they're always watching you. Their eyes arch up a little. And so they're never private about their emotions, which I think a lot of people love about dogs. Cats, I think a lot of people mistake as aloof, but cats are... It's just far more internal. It's far more, I wouldn't say shy is the right word, but, you know, there are people who are extroverts and there are people who are introverts. And I think the approach I took with cats was that they were a little more introvert. And sometimes with an introvert personality, that leads into a little passive-aggressive personality, which came up in some of the poems. And with the dog, it was really like, I am so happy today is whatever day it is. Isn't this fantastic?
See, that's why I'm a dog guy, not a cat guy.
Problems.
I'm definitely a dog guy based on what you're saying there. That's why I love dogs.
No, I mean, I think a lot of people have always asked me, which do I prefer, you know, my cat guy or dog guy? And I always provide the one answer no one wants to hear, which is both. which is sort of like, I think to some people, it's like, you know, I'm a Democrat and a Republican. Like, that can't be. That is true.
You can't be both, yeah. You've
I'm the person who's trying to figure out if I can get a pet pig in an apartment, and my friend's like, don't do this to yourself.
Yes.
Don't put that mark on your social media. No, you don't want that.
You've also selected the naming to share with our listeners. By the way, how tough was it for you to come up with titles to these different poems?
The titles came up once the voice of the poem came up, then that was a little easier. It was more or less, basically, how I write is I wander around New York City a lot. That's how I write for anything, even with Sally Forth. I walk about 6 to 8 miles a day.
Wow.
And I have my notepad thing on my phone, but I also have a notepad and a pen. And once you get used to walking around the city, you can shut out a lot of noise. I think a lot of people think, how can you deal with all the noise in the truck?
Yeah.
But it does become white noise, and it is a beautiful city to walk around. And it's just, so this is what I do. But, I mean, when you were asking how ideas came about, I would see a lot of dogs in various, you know, you would see the dog with the cone, and you'd wonder, what's that poor dog doing, you know, having to deal with? Or the dog walking with other dogs, or a dog walking with a smaller dog, or the little dog, and I keep hearing the word dog in such a New York accent every time I'm saying this right now, but even the smaller dog just getting very excited and how it feels like it needs to be bigger than it is.
Well, read the naming for us, would you please?
Okay. Sure. This is the naming. Give me something strong. Give me something powerful. Give me something noble. Give me something memorable. Give me something to carry through all my years with back straight and chin held high. But then you ask your 3-year-old daughter, why don't you name the new puppy? And I'm so screwed that I could cry.
Yes, that's so true. I want to get one more in here. One of the longer works, and I could chew on this, seems to come from a dog with a touch of separation anxiety. Celebrating her last day here at KCUR is our intern, Esther Honing. She's going to read, Where Are You? Esther, give it a whirl here.
I was so worried. I was so scared. I thought that I had lost you and the life that we both shared. I searched the entire house from the basement to the attic, the living, dining, and bedrooms, even the trash cans, because I was frantic. Up and down the staircase, back and forth across the halls, in and out through every door, louder and louder were my calls. I had even given up every hope. I had given in to despair. I had given the bad news to the pet cat, who gave me a look before relicking her hair. But just when all seemed lost, I found you. And it gave my heart a rush to see you sitting startled, but alive and well. So if you don't mind, I'll just stay here until you flush.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That was fantastic.
Francesco Marciuliano is a writer behind the syndicated comic strip Sally Forth and the author of I Could Chew on This and other poems by dogs. Francesco, happy holidays, and thank you so much for taking some time.
Happy holidays to you, too. This was fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.